All right. Thank everybody for being here. We like this opportunity. We're going to be looking at scriptures and trying to give a summary of certain areas of the Bible and what they were saying and what it might mean as we move along. Anybody who has a comment or a thought when we're going through it, you know, please voice it. Not a problem. This is more of an open session of a Bible commentary of what the Bible is saying at certain places. And I'm going to try to do it in chronological order, and it'll make more sense to us as we know what books of the Bible were written when and where. Okay, and what time frame they're dealing with. It's not always when they wrote it. It's what time frame they wrote it in. Like the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis starts in the beginning, saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yah, and the Word was Yahweh. And then in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. And the light, and the Word is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So this is talking about in the very beginning, like in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters. Want to make a comparison there. Starting off in the very beginning, it says that in the beginning Elohim created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. Now, what is without form? Okay, what do we mean? That doesn't have a form. It takes on the form of whatever it encompasses. Okay, so as we can look at H2O, we know in a solid state, when it's moving very slowly, it's ice. So it has form. Whatever form you put that ice in, that water in, that didn't have form, when you take away the energy, freeze it, then it turns into a solid and it takes in whatever form you want, form of an icy, the form of ice, the form of whatever you would want it to be. So if you freeze a pie or if you freeze things, it freezes in that state. Now, if you take it and you add energy to it, and this H2O, when you have just water as we know it, at that stage, it has no form. And so the Bible indicates that the earth was nothing but water. That's what it indicates, because it says after that, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters. So it's letting us know that the earth was nothing but water. It had no form. Now, the question it should be asked, and okay, if it had no form, where did we get this shape from? Okay, the Bible lets us know about that also, that the form that it created was a spherical form, and it was a form that was it's talked about waters above and waters below. Now, all of this is just basic physics. You know, anybody could take water and put it in something, and they can see that. So that's not really complicated. So when we talk about this, we're talking specifically about, here it is, Genesis 1:1. Okay, then it comes down, it creates the firmament in verse number 6. And Elohim said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And Elohim made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And Elohim called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning was the second day. So why is he creating things in this order, or at least describing these things to us in this order? Okay, well, first things first, if he's going to explain any of this to us, he has to help us try to understand using just basic physics. So like I said earlier, you can take water and put it in any shape. So you can take a balloon, and we make water balloons, right? You know, it doesn't have a shape. You put the water in it, and it takes on the shape of whatever the balloon is. Okay, so there is another example of it taking on a shape. And usually they're round shapes, so they could be egg-long shapes, you know, whatever shape the balloon is. So this shape that this water is in, that's surrounding it, it makes it, it's called the firmament. And so what we would call the biosphere, or what we call the ozone. Okay? So we had, and now we have this water, and now we're going to separate the water from the water. Now, how do you separate water from water? Okay. Well, there's another thing you can do, an experiment, another physics experiment, that's all it is. Take a glass, put water in a tub or in a sink or wherever you want. Take a glass, put it, let it come down open, the open side coming down into the water. Make sure this thing is 90 degrees. It has to be very perpendicular. It has to be perpendicular to it. It has to be a tangent to the water. So when you put it down in the water, do you know that they're to create an air gap? And you could take that glass and put it all the way down to the bottom, as long as you don't turn it. You put it all the way down to the bottom, and no water will get in that glass. Did you know that? That's physics. We did that experiment when I was young, so I remember it. I'm like, wow. So that's what we could consider sort of like an air gap. You have water all around this glass, on the sides and the top and by everywhere around it, but it doesn't go in there, and that's what we call an air gap. And so this air gap is what we live in now. This is what the firmament. So there was an air gap put around the earth such that now you have water, that's the lakes, that's the ones that below, the rivers, the oceans, and all of that stuff. You have all of that. And so with all of that, this is, again, physics 101, okay? With all of that, that's how we breathe. And so then you're saying, well, listen, are you telling me where the clouds are, that that was water? Are you telling me where the ozone in the atmosphere was water? Yes. It isn't today. We have clouds up there. Water collects up there and then comes back to the earth. But back in the very beginning, it said that it never rained on the earth until after the flood. So, since it did not rain until after the flood, then what do we have here? We have air. The Bible says that there was just dew that watered the ground in those days. So every morning I don't know if you've been out and saw the dew, but the dew is very heavy. And you can go out and on your car, you'll have water. That's the dew. Okay? So you can water the ground. Back in those days, you would water the ground through the dew every morning. And if you're driving and you look at the mountains and the mountain areas, you'll find out that early in the morning, that the dew stays heavy over them, and it takes longer for it to evaporate versus down in the valley. And down in the valley, you can see lots of it. It'll come earlier in the valley. So if you at night, you'll see the dew settling over the valleys and not in the mountains. And then in the morning, you'll see the dew that'll disappear out of the valleys, but not out the mountains, and eventually it'll, you know, dissipate through the mountains, a higher up level. So these are physics things that are real, and that's how things were progressing until the flood came. Now, every generation, every China, India, Native America, everywhere on the entire planet, Africa, everyone says there was a flood. Everyone dictates that there's a flood. A little different than the story than Noah, but all of them have the same basic story, that there was a flood. And so this flood, what it did was it broke up all the fountains or the waters that were above the earth, and that's what flooded the earth. And there was water underneath the earth that gushed up also and covered the earth with water. So that's why we don't see this water up in the heavens now, because all of that water was gushed out and put on the earth. So I just wanted to mention that, just in case people are wondering. So back in those days, you also had, see, the key was that you had a, what they call a biosphere. That's, you could, Michael Jackson used to sleep inside of a biosphere, I believe that's what it's called. And it's a contraction that it'll put pressure, it'll increase the pressure around you to push oxygen through your bloodstream, through your pores of your skin. So back in those days, when you had this water above and the water below, that means obviously you have to have a higher pressure that was on the earth. So this higher pressure pushed oxygen through the pores of our skin. So you get oxygen today by breathing. You get oxygen today by eating raw food. You get oxygen by deep breathing. And so a lot of people that are doing different exercises and so forth, the more you run, the more exercise you get, the more you breathe, the more you are breathing, deep breathing, getting oxygen into the system, the better off your body is and the more it heals. So if you have a lot of oxygen inside, oxygenate your system, then that's what promotes curing and healing. So lots of people will go on an oxygen therapy cleanse program, which we offer, for 10 days and 3-day cleanse program built on oxygen therapy, that what happens is that you'll feel much better, you'll think clearer, your body is full of oxygen, it's healing itself. The oxygen is getting, and it increases the voltage in, at all your cells, everything starts happening all around what we call air, or what we're using as the main component as oxygen into our system. So when they had these two different biospheres, like Michael Jackson would sit in these bio chambers, I think that's what they call, you lay in these bio chambers, and it'll push blood through your oxygen through your skin, and your body starts healing. So that's how Michael Jackson had all these operations, and then he would go in his bio chamber, and then what it would do, it would start, his body would start healing at a much more rapid pace. So some people do that, and they have these things out there. And so basically what it's saying is that the people that lived before the flood, who had this higher pressure that was pushing through their system, they were wiser and smarter and stronger than us, simply due to that one fact, that they had all of this oxygen and voltage going through their entire system. Not just their breathing, but actually going through the biggest organ of elimination, which is the skin. It pushed it right through the pores, right into the cells, so they could live long lives. They didn't live no 100 years. They didn't live no 70 years and come down with cancer. And the reason why we come down with cancer and we die is because we have no more voltage, because we don't have enough oxygen in our body that's supplying the cells so that they can reproduce. So that's the difference between then and today. We want to know why we can't build pyramids, why pyramids are all around the planet in Native America, India, China. Why? Because these people were superior than we are today. They had a body that was full of oxygen that was getting it, and so who knows how long they could have lived, how long they lived. The Bible records 900 and something. People don't want to believe that 10 times. They don't want to believe that we are only living one-fourth, one-tenth. 90% of our lifespan has been cut. Nobody wants to believe that. But it doesn't matter what they want to believe. When people are getting healed and they go through these cleanse programs and they're pumping oxygen, when you were sick before, it's killing you of cancer, AIDS, all these different diseases. So it proves right there that having all of this oxygen in your system is a health benefit. It heals the system. It cleanses the system, and you don't age as rapidly. Like myself, I've been on raw food. I've been on different things, different type of diets and so forth. And I can play basketball with teenagers and with 20-year-old college students. That's what I do. Most people can't do that after 30 years old. So, yes, it does make a huge difference, the oxygen getting in through the system. So when we're talking about this and when we're reading about the things that they did before the flood, when we read about the pyramids, when we read about the science, back in those days they had science. They wrote down the seven comedic teachings of truth, or the principles of laws of physics. That's basically all they are, number of physics laws. And we use them today. There's stuff that the people were able to use in the old days that we're just discovering today. So there's no way that we are an advanced technology versus the Africans that existed way back in the BC's 4000 BC. Okay? When we're talking about Adam and Eve and we're talking about Job and all of these type of people. Okay, so I wanted to mention that. I think that was an astounding fact. Any comments on that? Did y'all know that before?
No comments.
Did y'all know that before?
I mean, the science stuff, yes, just hasn't really applied it to the Bible. And then in regards to, I mean, of course, realizing that we're not the smartest people. I mean, they've done all this stuff. I mean, I think it's common knowledge to me, but I think a lot of people don't believe it.
Okay, we're going to look at another physics thing, okay, from the Bible, this physics, 101, all right? Now, a lot of people are misinterpreting the book. That's number one. They're taking it as a religious book. It's not a religious book. It's a holistic book. And we're going to talk about some of the things that it deals with holistically. People don't know they're dealing with health. Yeah, that thing is dealing with health one of the highest levels we could think of is doing it. But anyway, like I just said, I just explained to you physics about oxygen and law. That's physics. So there we can see Bible's talking about physics. He's not talking about, people read through the creation story and read through it as it's a tale to be told, not knowing it's telling us a whole lot of things. But because we are so blind and we are looking at it from a European viewpoint rather than from an ancient African viewpoint, we are totally misinterpreting the book, period. Okay, so we looked at the first few verses. We looked at the first day and the second day. The first day, we talked about the water. We're talking about it taking shape. Now, let's think back a little bit more. Do I want to go back further? No, I'm going to move forward, and then I'm going to go back because I think there's some important things that we should know. Okay, so then when we talked about the second day, we got this biosphere. We got this oxygen chamber, okay, and how people were able to live so much longer. And then I think about it, okay, the first thing on the planet was water. Why water, of all things? Why did he create oxygen and a biosphere on the second day? And what did he create on the day on the first day? All right, let's backtrack verse 3. And Elohim said, let there be light. And there was light. Wait a minute. Light? What is light? Okay, now we're back to physics again. Okay, the Bible is a physics book too, you know. Okay, what is light? Okay, we can create light, we see light, all this stuff. If we create light, we throw in electrons. We can create, what do we call it, lasers, okay? That's nothing but taking electrons, beams, and protons, and then we're throwing them and concentrating them in one specific area, and we can create, you know, energy, all right? We create lasers. So how hard do we want the lasers? We can have a laser that will go through a door, go through wood, burn through things, okay? And people use those to cut things. Then we have lasers that can be used very specifically to cut off the covering of the eye, okay, so that people have cataracts, they can remove those. So there's lots of different things that this light is used for, okay? So now inside of this light is a frequency, many frequencies of light that come from the sun. And how do you know that? You put a prism in front of in the sun, in the light, and you'll see rainbow. You'll see different colors. Or if you don't even do that, you just wait for the rainbows to come, okay, after a rain, and you'll be able to see that. Okay, so in it is all of these frequencies. One week we talked about frequencies. Everything vibrates. Everything is in motion. We talked about all of that. And so that is a form of energy, and everything has to have energy to exist, for it to be moving. Okay, now the force is not, or the force or the energy that's in it, or the voltage that's in it, is what has it move to vibrate or for it to exist. So let's think about this for one moment. And so like we said, everything gives off an electromagnetic field. Okay, so what is this electromagnetic field that it's giving up? Okay, when we talk about electromagnetic fields, what exactly are we talking about? Okay, an electromagnetic field is just a force that exists that surrounds us. The Earth has an electromagnetic field. We have magnets that have electromagnetic fields, okay? What exactly is that, okay? We talk about frequency one time where you tune in your radio and you can turn it to different stations and it'll tune in. It's a receiver that will tune in at a particular frequency and you can hear your radio station. You can get your TV stations. You can do all of these different things, okay? So if you can do all of that, what are we talking about here? Excuse me. Well, what we're talking about is energy. That's all we're basically talking about. Light is a form of energy. What we look at it, and we can look at it from the source of it, is coming from the sun that we see. Okay? If it's coming from the source of the sun, okay, that specific energy, okay, it says here in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. The same was in the beginning with Elohim. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light, L-I-G-H-T, of men. Whoa. So now what are we comparing? We're comparing light to the Creator now, and light to life. In him was life, and the life, L-I-F-E, that you live, your electromagnetic field, there we go, our electrical impulses is the light and the life of men, of human beings. Okay, so let's think about that for one moment. Okay, let's think about it. Okay, so when we're talking about energy or voltage or electromagnetic field or electricity, all of these things are basically similar. They're all forms of energy. But what is energy? Where does it come from? That's a whole other dimension. But he describes it here, that it's part of the Creator. So we know that the Bible says that the Creator, Elohim, is spirit. So he doesn't walk around with no physical being, and it ain't like that. We're talking about he's energy. The same thing that we are. We're spirit, and we're energy. You can look at it from that perspective if you want. So that's the perspective I'm going to discuss light with, or this light. Now, it says that it was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. The Word. Okay, let's backtrack again just a little bit. Are we talking about, if we look at humans, we're made in the image of the Creator. We aren't the Creator. Some people have the nerve to say that they're the Creator and they're God and all this other foolishness. They're my gods, but that's not what we're talking about. So don't go there, okay? When we are talking about humans, we have words, right? And it says that, you know, the words of Elohim. So he has words also. It has a spirit. We read already that the spirit of Elohim moves upon the face of the water. So we have a spirit, right? And he has a spirit. Every time we move our electrical impulses and so forth, that's the spirit moving. I mean, that's how we move our hands. That's how we talk. Now, the question is, that's two components. Your words are separate from your spirit that's moving. Okay, so how do these things know what to do? Okay, that's thought. So we think, and as I'm thinking, I'm communicating to you electrical impulses that you're hearing and that it's going through the phone, and these electrical impulses are being now received on your end, and you're listening to them. Wow. All the electrical pulses. Yes, everything is electrical. Everything is energy. Everything that communicates, everything you see is vibrating. This is entirely different than what the church teaches us and what the school teaches us, except you study physics. So what are we spending all our time studying? We're studying how to make money, how to be materialistic, how to build our whole life on materialism. Nothing spiritual, has nothing to do with the spiritual being. Church, same way. How much money can you make and give us? That's all they're interested in. So, everybody's off course. So, let's talk about this just for a little more time. So, when we thinking about this, we have a thought first, then we have words that are communicating to you from my thoughts. Then when I'm moving my arm and my hand, then from my thought, it's communicating to my spirit and it's moving. So, did you know that in the ancient Kemetic teachings that they said that everything is mentalism? They teach in the ancient African teachings, which is the Bible. The Bible is an ancient African book. It is not a European book. So it was not written by Europeans. It might have been stolen by Europeans and rewritten by Europeans and said that this is the King James authorized version to make you think that this is a European book, but it is not a European book. Okay, so this is an ancient African book. So let's look at it from that perspective. Now, if we look at the Bible from that perspective, we're going to see things that we could never see from a European perspective. So let's keep rolling down this path. So now, and we're going to compare this to physics. These were people who understood the laws of physics. So they're writing about the laws of physics, the laws that the Creator who put here for us to study and understand. Every Aborigine group, I'm not even just talking about Africans. I'm not just talking about Asians did it, Chinese did it, all the people in Asia, the people in North America, South America, the Native Americans, all of them, every Aborigine group on the planet understood their connection with the laws of Yahweh, and we lived in harmony with them. That's why the world hasn't been destroyed yet. Okay? So everybody lived in harmony until we come down to this industrial age that we are polluting the planet, killing everything, and we're wondering why nothing is cooperating. even trying to control the weather. We are ridiculous. And we think that we are so superior to the earth. That's our problem. This European Christian viewpoint tells us that we are to subject the world to our molding. That is so far from the truth as light is from darkness. We cannot mold the world into whatever we want and do whatever we want to it, and there will be no repercussions. Yes, we are receiving the repercussions of violating the laws that every Aborigine group, every person on the planet knew in the past and lived in harmony with. So, getting back to the ancient teachings, I just want to make sure that you can see that what the Bible says, which is an ancient African book, what the ancient Africans and Kemetic teachings were teaching, and what Physics 101 that we teach today. How about that? So, inside of your thoughts, they taught in the ancient teachings of Africa that there was this void, that the first was the thought of Elohim, the creator. They didn't call him Elohim, they just said the creator. Okay, so the thought of the creator, he thinks, this energy force moves about and thought into existence. Thought, remember, that's the first thing. Everything is mental. That's their principle. That's one of their principles. Everything is mental. Mentalism. So he thought it into existence and then came forth the light that we can see. Then came forth, we read it, you know, let there be light. And there was what? Light. But for you to think it, then you got to speak it into existence. Down in the ancient teachings, they talk about the word of the creator. It is very interesting that they are talking about the word of the creator as exactly the same that I just read to you in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with Elohim, and the word was Elohim. The same was in the beginning with Elohim. All things were made by him. Made by who? The creator? The thought? Mm-hmm. Yes, everything was made by thought, and the thoughts became words. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So then he thought it and spoke it into existence. That's why you read each of the days, he says, let there be water. Let there be water separated from the waters. Let there be. Let there be. They're speaking what? The thought into existence. I said, wow, this is the ancient teaching that Moses was taught back in ancient Egypt? In the Kemetic teaching? Yes, this is their teaching. And it said that there was, that the water, that the earth was just formless. It says the Bible says, without form, without void. It was just formless. And it was water. And I'm like, whoa, this is deep. Now what, you know, I mean, so I'm saying, okay, that's very interesting, that all of these things are coming into existence. The same teachings that the ancient Africans taught is the same teachings that's in the ancient African Bible. Okay? So, when we move forward, so we have to realize that the principles of truth of the ancient teachings of the Bible, of the ancient teachings of the African teachings, are the same teachings that we use in physics today, that we use. Now, in the ancient world, they had colleges, libraries, universities, and all of those. And so what the Europeans did during Alexander's time, they would come in and they would scavenge all of the writings. And then they would take and bring them back to Greek and translate them into Greek. Once they translate into Greek, then they can burn the original Egyptians ones and say that we are the first. And so when you read in American history, when you read about European history, when you read about history, they always say that everything began with the Greeks, who were thieves. No, everything did not begin with the Greeks. But anyway, so when we read some of the different things and understand the libraries that existed in Alexandria, the library, that was one of the first libraries that we know of, that Alexander put in his name. And they already had the colleges where Plato and Aristotle and Pythagoras went. to be educated for 40 years, and then they came back and then taught the Greeks. But instead of the Greeks saying, hey, we learned all this from the Egyptians, though, they said that everything began with them. According to Josephus, he says that they that the Greeks put themselves where they did not exist, they rename everybody, and they make them in, amalgamate, I got to get that word straight, amalgamation of everything. So basically, they mix everything together and then come up with something that's false, which we are taught. So, now that we know that the ancient teachings of the Bible is nothing but the ancient teachings of ancient African teachings, when we look at some of these things, and it's nothing but physics, and so far, today we are looking at mentalism, which is one of the principles. We already looked before last time, one of the times, at frequency. Okay, the next one that we might look at is what we call rhythm. Everything repeats itself. Then there's what we call cause and effect. And that's one of the major ones that we'll probably look at. Say it's cause and effect is like physics. It is physics. That's all it is. And nothing, matter cannot be created nor destroyed. Energy cannot be created nor destroyed. It just transforms its form, nothing more. The form changes, but it isn't, in essence, gone anywhere. And so when we look at this, we're trying to go back to actually see what was actually going on. Okay, the reason why I wanted to talk about light and energy is because, and the word, so if we look at the light, in everything we have has energy, has frequency, has life, is moving along. Okay, so I wanted to mention that just in passing. I did not want to spend my whole day talking about that. So, next thing we wanted to look at moving forward in history. So in the beginning of Genesis, it's six books of beginning. It gives you that, what happened in the beginning. Then it goes on and it deals with a guy named Job. Okay, it deals with that. Then it goes back more to Genesis. I mean, and that's where you deal with the flood and all that. But I wanted to talk specifically about one or two things in passing, and then we're going to move along. What I found was that inside of the book, we find some very fascinating things. We find that when we look at the rivers, the four rivers that left the Garden of Eden, that it puts it all around Africa, the east coast of Africa, the northeast coast of Africa. Matter of fact, what we call the Middle East today, and that whole area we call the Middle East, we used to call it Northeast Africa. But because of political reasons that the European Jews did not want to be said that they were, you know, European, which they were, and that they had now put in Northeast Africa in Israel, we can't say that. So what we'll do is mystify after 1945 that area. And we'll call it Mesopotamia, we'll call it this, we'll call it that, we'll call it whatever we want to call it, such that you'll never know that that is Northeast Africa. So, now, when we look at the first river, we find that the first river is Gihon, is Pison, and it surrounds the whole land of Avila. And we call that, as I've been able to define it, as what we call the Great Lakes regions. That's where it started, because you always got to be around water. Remember this, we started with the water, land was water, and we need water to live and to drink and to eat and to fish and to, you know, bathe and so many different things for water. You know, without water, how can you live? How can you bathe yourself? How can you wash? How can you clean your clothes? How could you do anything? How could you hydrate your body? How could you make things, you know, lemonade or any of anything without water? So every society usually starts around water. they got to have water near them so that they can, you know, survive. Okay, so they're usually, you'll find them browned around lakes and rivers, and so it's around the Great Lake regions where the first river was. Then it says the second river is Pison, I mean, it's Hapla. I mean, it's, okay, the first one is Pison, which surrounded the whole land of Havilah, which is around the Great Lake regions. And the second one, it says, is Gihon, and it's around the land of Ethiopia, or the land of Cush. So the only, so you have to understand some history, that land of Cush and the land of Ethiopia. Ethiopia and Cush is the same word, which means burnt-faced people. That's what the Greeks called us, burnt-faced people. So that's where we got the name from. So that second river was what we call surrounds the whole land of Ethiopia. If we look at the land of Ethiopia, you got the blue and the white Nile River. That basically, the blue Nile surrounds the land of Ethiopia. So now we're talking about the Bible is calling the second river the Nile River, which is the longest river in the world. So next to the Amazon River, those are the two longest rivers in the world. So with that river flowing, and it created around that was the first, the second civilization, which was what we call the ancient Kemetic teachings, or what we call the ancient, what do we call them? We call them Egyptians today. I wouldn't use that term because it's not accurate. It's another name that the Europeans put on us again. They were originally called Kemetic people, okay, people that have chemistry, C-H-E-M, or K-H-E-M. But if you use C-H-E-M, that stands for what? Chem, for chemistry, yes. The melanin people, that's correct, the sun people. So when you go up and then you find up the Nile River, as it flows northward into the Red Sea, up into the Mediterranean area, what you have in that specific area is what civilization that was next created was what we call the Nile Valley Civilization. Now, the Nile Valley Civilization, as we came from Dr. Ivan Van Sverderman, Dr. Ben, Dr. Chancellor Williams, and all of these brothers who had re-erected us to restudying African history, because the Europeans were teaching us lies about the European, about the African history, that everything started in Europe. And when we find out their stolen legacy, that they stole all our libraries and all of our history and copied over our universities and colleges. So, yeah. So the second civilization, which is the Nile Valley Civilization, you can go, it's all based around the Bible. The Bible is always talking about Egypt. We always hear about them. Okay? Now, we only think of them in a bad light as it relates to the book of Exodus. But the Bible does tell us in the book of Exodus not to hate the Egyptians. So that's a big point. Why is he telling us not to hate the Egyptians? In the book of Isaiah, he says that Egypt, my people, Assyria, the inheritance, my inheritance, Assyria, the work of my hand, and Egypt, and Israel, my inheritance. Let me repeat that over again. That Egypt, my people, Assyria, the work of my hand, and Israel, my inheritance. So he's letting us know point blank that Israel is in his inheritance. Then he's also blanketly telling us that Egypt, or Kemetic teachings, Kemet, was my first people. Whoa! Africans, the Bible tells you point blank, was Yahweh's people. Now, how come they're not his people today? Why are the Egyptians not, cool? Well, why did they put the Israelites in bondage? Okay? Oh, there's a lot of history around all of that. First of all, Egypt has always been conquered by Arabs and Europeans, and everybody conquers northern part of Egypt. Okay, in that Pacific, in the Delta, because it's fertile, and that's where knowledge came from, and people from around the world came there, and they would, and every time you came into Egypt, they took your books. They asked you, you had to have two copies, one copy for us to keep so we could put in our library and one for you to keep. So they were a very knowledgeable people of worldwide knowledge. And so when we think about these Egyptians, or when we study deeply about them, we find out that everybody wanted what they had. So what did we have? We had Europeans that would come in, that would conquer them and take over. Anthony, you hear about Anthony and Cleopatra. You hear about Caesar. You hear about all of these guys. You hear about Alexander the Great. All of these people came in and started taking over. But before they even took over, then you had the Arab world. They would come in and do the same thing. The Asians would come in and conquer and set up their people and so forth. So the question is, at the time of Moses, who was ruling Egypt? It wasn't like today. Who's ruling Egypt today? Are they the Africans? No. Are the Egyptians really the Egyptians? No. These are colonialists. These are Arabs that have come into Israel, I mean, they come into Egypt and rule. So the same thing in the modern world in Israel. The people that now are ruling Israel, they're nothing but the European Jews. So they are not the Hebrew people. So we have all of these different people that over time has taken over land and then claiming it for themselves. Just like America. We come over here and we're African American, and you got European Americans, and they claim to be what? Americans. They're not Americans. These are colonialists. We're colonialists. We came over here and we colonized this joint. Okay? So the original people are the people that's in enslavement camps. And then nobody likes to call them that, you know, concentration camps, but that's basically what they are. They just call reservations. So the Egyptians that are in Egypt, that rule Egypt today, they're nothing but colonialists. So those are Arabs. So we can't even look at them. And they're not going to tell us the truth because they took some of the writings themselves and put it away and hid it. So they're not going to tell you what's going on in the pyramid. They're not going to tell you about the ancient Africans. But we read in the Bible that these ancient Africans were black, that they came from that these people that came from Kemet were Nubians. That's the first thing. Remember, I mentioned that Homer and Herodotus, they claim to be the first historians. They're not the first historians. They're the first historians to talk about their story, his story, the European story. But then when they came down into Africa, you read this in my book, People of Color and Bible. When they came in, they thought we were the gods. Do you hear me? They thought black people were gods. Now, how bad has things become that the people who ran into us back in those days thought we were gods, and now they put us as slaves, and they don't think nothing of us? Why? How did that flip? Well, it was real clear. When they saw the knowledge that we had in the libraries and all the different things, that they said, man, these have got to be the gods. They have got to be. Because ain't nobody living like this on the planet. They're used to the cold weather. They're used to killing everything. They're not building up civilization and society. No, that's not what was going on at that time. Well, we were children of the sun, and that's what we were doing. Okay? So when we look back at this particular time frame, and we look back, we will find all the different things that in the Bible were the ancient teachings of the Kemetic people or the ancient teachings of the ancient Africans. So that's why when we read about Job is an African. When we read about some of these different things, unless you understand it from an African viewpoint, you're going to misunderstand the Bible because you're going to be looking at it from a European viewpoint. Okay, but they don't have the history, the language that was being spoken and the ideas that existed at the time that these ancient writings are written. We don't have that today. So we have to go back, search in time, and try to understand from that viewpoint. And so this book is a holistic book. Now, one thing I ran across that was just, like, scaring me a little bit. Not really scaring me, but, you know, making it so crystal clear was, I was reading this morning in Leviticus chapter 12. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, say, if a woman have conceived seed and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the days of the separation of her infirmity, shall she be unclean. And in the eighth day, the flesh of the foreskin shall be circumcised. This is talking about the male. Now, do you know the Bible talks about circumcision given to Abraham, and it's a sign that he is, you know, his people. Do you know that in the Bible it tells us that Moses didn't circumcise his son and the angel was going to kill him. And his wife was, now remember, Moses married an Ethiopian woman. Remember, we talked about the Ethiopians. We talked about the Nubians. Those were the first civilization, the first people on the planet. Okay? Okay, so these Nubians, the African Great Lake regions, they were Nubians or Kushites or the burnt-faced people, as the Europeans called them. Then the second river was the Nile Valley civilization. The third one was around what we call the Tigris and Euphrates, or what we call the land of Nimrod. See, the people don't talk about that. But Nimrod settled that land, and around those lakes, again, what was it? It was around the Euphrates and the Tigris. He built Babel. He built at least major cities, Ramah, and so forth, the Bible talks about. So all of these things are being built by, what, Nubians, because he's the son of Cush. That's who he was. He was the son of Cush. And so the empire of the Ethiopian Empire extended all the way over to the Hindu Kush Mountain, over to India and China. Most people don't have no clue of that. Oh, we hear about the great British Empire that the sun never sat on. We don't hear about these other ones. And we don't hear them that they're coming in there and stealing this stuff. No, they're giving history. They're giving writing. They're giving knowledge to the rest of the world. That's what the ancient Kemetic teachings and the Nubians and so forth were doing. Now, as I said, they would come in. And so at the time of Moses, we had Arabs. We had colonializing Africa. I mean, colonializing Pacific Egypt. And that's why the Bible says that this king knew not Joseph. How could no one not know Joseph when Joseph was the one who saved them? Of course, he's written in their history. The reason why that they didn't want to hear it, because he was not an Arab, and so they only taught Arab history to the Egyptians. Of course he didn't know it. If he was a real Egyptian from the Nubian Empire, he would have known that, but he was not. And so that's what happened. So please, unless you understand that, then why are you hating Egyptians? Why are you hating Africans? Why are you hating the Egyptians, the Kemetic teachings? They are not the same thing as the people that enslaved the Hebrews. Okay, so it's just like somebody saying today that, hey, the Americans, the Native Americans who rule America today, which they don't rule America today, enslaved the Native Americans and kicked them out and put them in Mexico. Now, the Americans, how can the Americans that lived at a certain time put Native Americans inside of concentration camps, run them out down into Mexico, and then tell them it's illegal for them to come back to their land? But that's what's happening today. But that's what was happening back then. These people who are running the world, or running America today, is not Native Americans. They're colonists. So the same thing that ran in Egypt of why they enslaved Moses, well, they were colonists again. And if we look at Egypt today, the people who run Egypt today are colonists. Not real Egyptians. So think about this. That's what I'm saying. Unless you understand the ancient history, unless you understand the African thinking, then you're going to misunderstand all this. Now, notice this. This circumcision was given to Abraham, but it was already practiced by the Egyptians. Why? Because they were his people. The Bible tells you that. That's what it's telling you right here. My goodness, it was like we think, wow. According to the separation, and then it says on the eighth day, that the flesh of their foreskin shall be circumcised, and she shall continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. Okay, so basically for 40 days, she's not, you know, able to do all the different things. I remember a friend of mine who's from Africa, Nigeria. He is a good friend of ours, and then his wife, she had a son. And then when she had the son, her niece came over and was bathing the baby and was taking care of the mother for 40 days, and then she left. And I said, well, why was she over here for 40 days? Well, that's the tradition of the Africans. What are you talking about? I said, okay, when did y'all get that tradition? They said they got that tradition at the beginning of time. At the beginning of time? Yeah, man, that was from creation. There it is right there. So we have here these Africans in Nigeria practicing the rites of the ancient Hebrew people. How is that possible? Because they were the original people, and they were given those laws earlier in time. I said, wow, they don't even know where they're getting these laws from. They don't even know anything. They don't even know that they are the people. So I would just like to stop there for now. But I thought of these things when I was reading this morning, and it was like sticking out very clearly in my mind. Okay, any questions or points anyone would like to mention, or if you have heard this before, if you have thought about it before, have you read it in the scriptures, did it dawn on you? What feedback do I have?
Well, I've always been really fascinated by the Egyptians and not really had any negative feelings towards them. Although I understand what you're saying, because, you know, people might have negative feelings because in the Bible they talk about, you know, they were the ones that enslaved the Israelites and all that kind of stuff. And I always knew that they were extremely smart, because remember they had their libraries and stuff like that, that people kind of like ended up taking from them, even to the point of like Cleopatra. And I was doing some research on the different big female figures in Egypt a couple of weeks ago. I'm just listening to documentaries and looking up information on them, and I just thought it was, I don't know, I've always really loved the Egyptians, but I thought it was cool to put it in context, you know, that it's not like, you know, they're the same kind of people, you know, and the people there today aren't the same people that were there back then, which totally obviously makes sense, which we knew as well. For me, you know, kind of knew as well, but it's always good to rehear those kind of things. It was a good talk. Good talk, interesting points to bring up. A lot of the stuff I've thought about before, but it's always nice to kind of bring it back to the forefront of your brain, because sometimes you just think everybody knows that, and obviously everybody doesn't, you know, because everybody wasn't, you know, everybody's minds don't work like that, so.
Yeah, probably good important points. Just how physics and science works, correlating back to the beginning of Earth and so forth, and how so many people are just kind of not really taking the scriptures as kind of a, I don't know, in the same way that they are more than likely supposed to be given as like a guideline for living, a guideline to doing certain things, kind of taking a religious spin to kind of entrap the masses toward certain things while omitting other things, if you could say.
I mean, it's very interesting of all the different things that you can find in these ancient writings. And we don't look at them from an ancient viewpoint. And that's sad. We don't even take them as our history. Some people just, you know, say that that's from the devil because they were polytheists. But the Egyptians were not polytheists. That's just the European telling you that so that they can have a monopoly on the creator. But they don't have a monopoly on the creator.
I think they just had a better, more holistic understanding. You know what I mean? As opposed, you know what I'm saying? Like they understood that you know, the sun was separate from the water, and you know, and they kind of like didn't name gods; they kind of named entities. You know what I mean? That they felt, you know, were not gods, but you know what I'm saying? Like they like entities that they felt were directly. You know what I mean? I don't know how to really say it. I don't think the words are coming to me, but I mean, yeah, they do always say that they had gods in there. You know, polytheistic and all this stuff. And I'm like, I really don't believe that they were either. I believe that they had a deeper understanding, and maybe the way that they wrote it, or you know, the way that people translated it, people took it as they were worshiping multiple gods and stuff, but that's not really, you know, that's not the case. People just kind of wrote it up like that. because that's how they understood. I mean, because at the end of the day, who taught you how to translate this? You know what I mean? If at the end of the day you're translating how you think it should be read, then you're probably translating it wrong. You can even translate somebody's feelings incorrectly. So if you can translate feelings incorrectly, of course you can translate words that you've never seen before incorrectly.
Any comment on that, Jabari?
No, I agree.
All right, the reason why I asked, I was trying to buy me some time here. I'm looking up in my book that's called The Black Athena. It was written by Martin Bernal, obviously a German or European from somewhere. And he writes and makes mention of very clearly that the guy who created Egyptology, anybody can go read it, I guess you can find it yourself. Anybody that, and he did this at, let me make sure I get the exact university because they wanted to fire him. He wrote two volumes. That's called Black Athena. I had read volume one and volume two I was going through, and I wanted to get volume three. And I spoke with Dr. Felder. He told me don't buy volume three because volume three is a denial of everything that he wrote in volumes one and two. Because they said they were going to fire him because he had written all of this stuff about ancient Egyptians and how we were, you know, the real people and everything we were stolen. He worked at Rutgers University. And so basically what he had said was Charlemagne, who they consider is the father of Egyptology by the Europeans, and he said that the Egyptians are clearly monotheists. But at the time, racism was so great back in Germany and so forth in the 14, 1500s and all these different things that they have taken the view that that Egyptians were polytheists, and that only the Christian world was monotheist, and that they are the only ones that have the true worship of the God. And that's how that happened. And they had a monopoly. That's what they said. They had a monopoly on monotheism. And so they wasn't going to say that Moses, who came out of Egypt, all, that he brought monotheism from the Egyptians. Just outright lied. I mean, just outright. And this is, and they know that, and they were going to fire him for writing stuff like that, unless he recanted. In the third book, they said he recanted everything. So this is not by accident. They're not misunderstanding us. This is just blatant fraud, blatant lies that they're telling us. And I'm like, wow. And then when you tell it, if a white boy tell it, hey, you're going to lose your job, bro. You go stand up for black people like that, or you go lose your job. He said, I'm not losing my job over these black people, even though what I said was true. So, it's this stuff is deeper conspiracy, deeper control than we would like to acknowledge. But we have to try to understand what is truth, and that's what I'm saying. We're going to go through the seven laws, because today we went through mentalism. Mm-hmm. There we go. We done went through mentalism. We done dealt with what we call frequency. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go through orations, vibrations, same thing as frequency. We're going to go through all of them and be able to show. All of them are physics 101. Well, if not 101, maybe a little higher. But they're physics, and they're also ancient teachings that come straight out of the ancient African Bible. So, what more can I say? And everything is electric. So don't let nobody fool you in thinking that, and see, this is where the problem is. In the ancient world, they were into spiritual world, spiritualism. I mean, they were down in the spirit. They were not down in the materialism. In the ancient world, in the aborigine groups that are on the planet, you don't see them piling up money and food and all that stuff. You don't see them doing that. No, they're not into materialism. These guys, ancient world, the Aborigines that's still alive, that as long as we didn't touch them and introduce our wickedness to them, that they understand the earth, they understand how to live within the laws, and that's what they do. And so they are his people, not one Christian organization that say if you obey and worship the way we say that you're in. Matter of fact, I found some writings. Can you believe this? I found in some writings the Bible made crystal clear that Aaron's sons, Nahu and Abihu, they went in and offered up, the Bible calls it, a strange incense. And Yahweh came down and blew them away. Fire came out of heaven, lit them two boys up. Then in that same chapter it says, make sure that no priest goes into the tabernacle who have drunk wine or strong drink. And so basically we're saying that, hey, if you go in there drunk, you know, then you're going to be, you know, you're violating the laws of Yahweh. Okay? And that wasn't right. And that he would wipe you out. So this is what happens. Now, I thought about this. Some people might get offended. You just get offended. The Christian world is screwed up anyway. Okay, anyway. In Catholicism, what they do is every Mass, they claim that they're resurrecting the Messiah through this host that they have. And so you go up, and then they open up this little vault-like, and it's supposed to represent the tabernacle. You go in there where the Shekinah glory is, or you go in there where the holy place is, and you take out this host, and they offer it up and do all that. And they drink wine. I said, wait a minute. The Bible just said if you go in that and if you're communicating with that, you don't drink wine or liquor. They drink wine at every Mass. These boys drink so much wine, man, these guys are high. You hear me? And then they come down and they offer to you a whole spirit that can make you high. But they offer you. So can you understand that this is a direct violation of the Bible? Straight up. So how are you saying that you follow the Bible when you violate it? The Bible says call no man father. What do they call it? Oh, their priest father. I mean, listen, this stuff that we've been told is passing off as Christianity has nothing to do with the book. It has nothing to do with the ancient teachings. It ain't got nothing to do with the ancient people. We just are showing. We are just sold out on fraud. I just wanted to share that. I read that. And that just blew me away. And I said, I have got to share this. I can't.
Oh, I have a thought that came to mind that Seventh Day Adventists, I think, for the most part, do kind of follow about do not eat and drink at the same time. It kind of mentions that in the Bible. And I think, I don't know if it's referring to strong drink or just drink in general, but I was thinking drink in general.
Good point.
Most people, I mean, the majority of us, I mean, even now, you know, you kind of just do naturally. But, yeah, if you want to stick to the script, you know, is there certain things, like you said, that are omitted and kind of okay, and then there are other things that aren't.
Yep, that is correct. And if anybody wants to find what I would just quote it to you, Leviticus chapter 10, that's where it's at, okay? So anyway, that's very interesting because even when we talk about the laws as it refers to the woman being unclean for 40 days, do you know what's really happening there? It's the recuperation of the woman to re-heal herself, and it takes around 40 days if she has a male, and it takes her 80 days if she has a female. And I said, what, if she had a female, our friend from Africa, didn't want to mention everybody's name because some people, I didn't get permission to use their name. So they said if it was a girl, it was 80 days. And I'm wondering, well, how do y'all know that? But this is how long it takes for it to regenerate, for your body to regenerate. Why does it take longer double for women? Because women are going to be reproducing kids. So theirs is going to take longer for you to regroup. They tax more out of your body, and now you need this to regroup. And that's exactly what the Africans do to this day. And they have no clue where it come from except that this is what was given to us at the beginning of time. I'm like, wow. So it's not that it's speaking against women. No, it's just saying, hey, women need 40 days to recover, okay? That means you can't be having sex with her. You can't be doing nothing with her. You just let the woman recover and regroup. That's what it means. You get somebody there to help her, to aid her, and all of those other things. And that's all it means. And that's the African way. I said, wow, this is like, I mean, what more could you expect from Africans, right? All right, so if there's no other comments, any other comments or points anyone would like to make, this will be your time.
No, I think I'm kind of on the plane.
I'm good, too.